to another episode of No Trash, Just Truth.
No Trash, Just Truth is a podcast of Proverbs 910 Ministries. We're your hosts, Rose Spiller
and Chris Paxson. Welcome back. As part of our ongoing series, Christians Every Christian Should Know, we are honored today to have as our guests, Paul and Stephanie Cox, founders of RevTunes. As we're going to hear, Paul and Stephanie are not using the ordinary means of reaching people with God's word and the gospel, but we're going to let them explain that.
But before we do, we want to just give a brief introduction. Paul and Stephanie live in southern Wisconsin with their four children. And in their words, there are three noisy chickens and few thousand honeybees. RevTunes is not their full-time gig. Paul's a full-time freelance cartoonist, and Stephanie takes care of and homeschools their children. But somehow, they manage to pump out brilliant cartoons through RevTunes. Paul's the artist, and Stephanie does the mailings and is the voice behind the camera in the live videos. And as they say on their website, they enjoy working together to develop their content that points people to Christ.
So welcome, Paul and Stephanie.
Thank you.
We are happy to have you here.
We are thrilled to have you.
Yes. Can you start out by telling everybody a little bit about yourselves, like how you met, how you became Christians, about your kids?
Sure. Yeah, well, first of all, we no longer have honeybees, unfortunately.
Aww.
Maybe because we didn't feed those either. No, we did. I don't know. It makes me wonder.
RevTunes doesn't feed their animals.
Oh, no, that's bad. I have heard they have a rough time sometimes and they just can't make it. So,
yes.
Our story starts out similarly. We were both raised in the Free Methodist Church pretty much for at least the majority of our younger years.
Yeah. Raised Free Methodist. Both went to a Free Methodist college in Spring Arbor, Michigan. And that's where we met. I came from Wisconsin. Stephanie's from Michigan. Yeah, we met there in college, got married, and I brought her back to Wisconsin. And let's see, my theology started shifting towards more Reformed theology, probably in, I graduated in 2006, and we left the Free Methodist Church that we were attending in 2010. So around that time, my theology was starting to shift due to some teachings that were brought into the Free Methodist Church that we were going to, because they didn't really vet any of the materials. So there was at that time, there was some Calvinistic preachers that came in, and well, didn't come in, but they were in through small groups where we were watching these video series. And one of those guys was talking about the sovereignty of God, and I hadn't really heard about that before or really understood it. I may have heard it before, but just didn't understand it. But he gave a very clear presentation about God's sovereignty. And that led me through some of his recommendations in some of his sermons that I listened to when I got home. It led me down this winding rabbit trail towards Reformed theology. And that's what got me interested in the Reformation and just going deeper into theology and learning about church history.
So because the Methodist Church didn't vet their people, you found biblical theology. That's awesome. You never know what God's going to use.
It almost seems like a backwards story.
You're right.
Yeah. Once he started learning and kind of getting into all the it was a big shift. I was not on board at all for a while.
I was pretty cage stagey.
Well, it becomes like everything that I ever knew, everything that I was comfortable with, the man that I knew that I had married, like just like nothing was familiar anymore. And I couldn't hold on to those things that I wanted to if I were to really read the Bible for what it is and for what it says. I mean, we grew up in topical preaching more so we wouldn't get, like, I didn't even know the word predestination was in the Bible. I didn't know that, like, all scripture points to Christ. Like, I mean, it's things that I feel like right now, like, well, once I kind of started to get on board, he started asking questions. So are you telling me that the Bible isn't true. And of course, well, I mean, I grew up and, well, we have the Bible. Of course it's true. Like silly thing to ask. But then I really had to start looking into things, which was very kind of frustrating. I would say very frustrating, because Paul would have time to listen to all of these podcasts and all of these things that would help him in his growth. And he would start using words like justification and, like, I mean, things that I'd heard of before, but he had the understanding and I only had like the definition or whatever.
Right. At the time I had been laid off from that job, wasn't able to find work. So I was attempting to break into freelance illustration. Stephanie was working, and during that time, like, I would listen to like 8 hours of just discernment podcasts. It was not healthy. So from that, all I was getting was the negative of, oh, this person's wrong. This person's wrong. This person's wrong. What they're teaching is wrong. I wasn't getting actual teaching. I was just getting discernment stuff. So that was filling up my head. And so,
which isn't bad.
She would come home from work and I would just kind of unload everything that I had learned that day that was wrong. And I had no outside teaching for that, because we were kind of in between churches. This was in, I think, 2010, 2011 or so. And we were in between churches, and the church that we were attending was kind of like an oasis for us while we looked for something more solid. And it was very seeker sensitive, and smoke machines, light shows, things like that. And so there were, I wasn't really getting any discipleship or training in what I was learning. I didn't even know what I was learning was like Calvinism or Reformed or anything until like maybe 2 years later, when I was listening to someone and they mentioned those words. I was like, oh, that's what this is. Oh,
that's probably better. Cause
who was that?
It has so many negative connotations if you're not Reformed.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that was the person that mentioned, they mentioned Calvinism was, I think it was James White. And I had found him through the Unbelievable podcast with Justin Brierley, who would like have different Christians from different walks in Christianity debate each other. And James White was one of them. And he's talking about Calvinism. And I had grown up hearing that word, but not really knowing what it was. And so I was listening to that one. Yeah.
That it's not okay. Or, you know, or just, yeah, whatever. Like, just, we don't need to go.
Right. Because the Free Methodist Church is Wesleyan. And so they would have been against that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were saying they let, they didn't vet and let a Calvinist teach in the Methodist church. That definitely wouldn't happen today.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So you run RefTunes using comics to preach the truth of God and to make a lot of theological points. So can you tell us what made you come up with using comics to teach God's word? And then how did you come up with the name?
Oh, let me, if I could back up just a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Growing up, like, well, not even just growing up. I mean, I guess even now, just back to like, Paul's very good at making things understandable if he can anything. He's just good at it no matter what, but it's especially helpful when he's drawing something. And when we would look for like children's materials, I mean, for our kids growing up, well, I mean, our oldest is 13, so they're not grown up yet, but we just wanted good quality stuff that we had been learning and we didn't know where to find it. But anyway, so that was part of your thing, I think, as far as like doing understandable things for even our children, even if it is at a what might normally be a higher level of understanding, like taking the Calvin's Institutes, putting that into a graphic novel so that kids can understand it. So like he's very, very good at that. And that was kind of a passion, I think, from the beginning, is it's not just for us. This has to be for other people, because God has given Paul a gift. He can't use it really in the church necessarily,
right? There's no real outlet in
the church,
the local church, for something like that. But if I can create these materials that are helpful and distribute them somehow,
right? Sorry,
then I'm gonna do that.
Yeah,
so
starting up,
so yeah, RefTunes, I started in 2017 is when I really posted the first comic. It was in October 2017, Reformation Month, And so the idea behind RefTunes came when I was learning all this church history, and I wanted to share what I was learning. I didn't want to just keep it inside. I wanted some way to share it. And I was reading from all the old dead guys, and a lot of them have some amazing quotes that are just very, very picturesque and very easy to have like a mental picture. And so I thought, well, I've always loved comics. I've wanted to be a cartoonist since I was a kid, and
I have been a cartoonist
since I was a kid, and I've been working full time as a freelance illustrator for the last like 12, 13 years or so. And so I draw comics every day, cartoon characters every day, anyways, apart from RefTunes. And so I just wanted to meld my two loves, my love of comics and my love of my newfound love of theology together. And the idea came about when I was just sketching around, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be funny to draw the reformers as cartoon characters and just have them interact with some different parts of the modern world, but using like some of their own writings or some of their own teachings and whatnot. And so I was just thinking like Reformation and cartoons, so I just shortened it to RefTunes. So that's where the name came from. When it first came out, some people thought it was like a sports comic, like RefTunes, oh, yeah, or something. No, not quite.
It's a perfect name.
What was your first comic? Do you remember?
Yeah,
it was Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door with the line of trick-or-treaters behind him.
That's awesome.
With a quote, really. Yeah, that wasn't really with a quote. But the very next one that I did, I think, was a quote. I think that was the John Owen one. Be killing sin or sin will be killing you, where he's digging the graves.
I've seen that one.
Yep. One of my favorite quotes.
You have a wide range in your comics. I've seen scripture, I've seen quotes, I've seen a lot from Augustine, Spurgeon, John Owen, you just mentioned. So I'm guessing there's some of your favorite dead guys. There's some of ours too. Yeah. And I see it with current stuff. So where do you get your ideas?
A lot of times it's just what I'm currently reading at the time.
What your wife is reading.
Or what my wife is reading, yeah. I have a list, a long list of ideas in an idea sheet document.
Or you'll get people writing in and saying, hey, can you do this? And then, so sometimes you don't have to, like, or you haven't read every single book from every quote.
But... No, not every single book. Sometimes I'll look for quotes, and then I'll try to verify them, make sure they're actually from the person who they're quoting. A lot of the early RefTunes, some of them, like if you look them up, they may not actually be from that person.
Well, but then you've written on the bottom where it says,
I sometimes do commonly attributed to, or some of them, like with Spurgeon, there's one, I don't remember which one, but I've given a link to where you can find where he said something similar to the quote, where the quote may have been derived from, but things like that. But lately I've been trying to actually verify and only do quotes that I could verify and defend as real.
Makes sense.
Because there's a lot of Augustine quotes even that like they're attributed to Augustine, but most likely if you see an Augustine quote, he didn't actually say it.
That's interesting. Good to know.
Yeah.
It's good to know. Yeah. I saw that you did a couple of Vody Bachum comics, and he responded about how much his kids love them. So do you often get that kind of positive feedback from the people that you do that are living, obviously?
Let's see. I think Vody's the only one that has given me feedback. Tom Askell, I did one of him as well, and gave him the original drawing as well while we were at Founders 1 year. So he enjoyed that, I think, I hope.
He said he did.
But
I can't imagine
really two,
no, I and, can't either.
And I try James not White to do the one. Oh yeah, James White, I gave him one too. I try not to do the guys that are living as much as the old dead guys, just because we don't know how their lives have panned out, and I'd rather just bring back the voices of the past because they have so much good to say that we don't really have their kind of explanations of things nowadays. Everything's like they tend to go into like great depth on one verse.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we don't get that.
Martin Lloyd-Jones was good at but he's not old enough to be in the public domain yet.
Right.
For his work.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do the same thing. We try to quote the old dead guys because you know they're not going off the rails.
So. Right. Yeah.
On the other side, have you gotten any pushback for any of your cartoons? And Stephanie, do you ever have final say that you nix a cartoon if?
Yes. You don't... I did. Well, I mean, I can be I'm rather picky. There was one cartoon that he took down because I couldn't handle it being up there.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it was the cartoon or the comments.
No,
I couldn't handle.
Well, there were two. There were actually two. And one could have been hurtful to our church at the time during 2020. So we took that one down. I mean, it was honest, but it might not have been received well. So that was down. Sorry.
Yeah.
The heretic one.
There was one with John Calvin talking about every time one heresy or false teaching pops up or gets smashed down, another one pops up or something. So I had John Calvin playing whack-a-mole with a bunch of heretics.
Yeah, I think I saw that too.
Okay. So the hard thing about that for me was when he showed me, I laughed and I loved it. But then when I got to thinking, and I think it was probably the comments that got me to thinking like, oh, like that is not okay. Like, well, I mean, well, it became not okay for me because what if these heretics turned to Christ? Like, and then, I mean, you still, I think even they would say, yeah, like, I mean, if they're really turning to Christ, then, you know, the bad, that's the old me and that is bad or whatever. But I don't know. There was just enough.
I think what it came down to was, is this just bashing? No pun intended. Bashing for the sake of bashing these guys, or is there any teaching that's going along with this? And there wasn't any teaching or pointing to Christ. It was just, this is false. Let's whack it down. And so that was the reason for removing it.
Have you gotten pushback from people on any of your cartoons besides Stephanie?
One, there was all kinds of pushback. Anytime I post like G.K. Chesterton or C.S. Lewis, I get people reminding me that those guys were Roman Catholic and that I shouldn't be posting them. But I like some of their quotes.
Good quotes.
Yeah.
And, they do have great quotes.
So I created a separate page for G.K. Chestertunes.
time to keep up with.
Yeah, which I've only posted one or two. But yeah, there's that. And usually I didn't realize this when I was getting into Reformed theology, but there is a wide range of views regarding the second commandment and images of Christ to the point where I had pushback of even
like seeing baby Jesus's hand,
seeing like little baby hands.
Oh my goodness.
With nothing
else. Wow.
As well as saying that if there was a lion or a lamb portrayed in one of my catechism books, that their church would not buy it.
Wow. I had
no
heard
lion
that.
Or lamb.
That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Heard of that either.
Wow.
So it's kind of, I sometimes feel like I'm walking on eggshells when I'm creating some of these because I don't necessarily know where one thing is going to hit and where it's going to be okay, because there's such a wide range of views among the Reformed camp.
We just interviewed Tom Askell a couple weeks ago, and he had said, you know, we have to fight the big fights now. We can't be have all this inner fighting over things that don't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I've never heard the lion and the lamb thing though about the second. I've just never heard that.
Me either.
I would think that would take out a ton of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had right. good solid material in them. But mm-hmm. so you have a solid understanding of the correct theology. Have you ever thought of doing something like the Bible Project does? Because I know they have some really big theological issues. As much as people love them, I could never really point someone to them. Have you ever thought about doing anything like that?
Well, I wouldn't say I have a solid understanding. Well, I understand Reformed theology enough, I think, to get by, but I'm still learning. As far as doing something like the Bible Project does, they do mostly animation, I believe, and I don't do any animation,
okay.
But I think it'd be fun to work with someone to do something like that.
Yeah, I didn't know the differences there between the animation and the cartoon, but...
Well, since you are looking to work with someone, Stephanie, do you incorporate any of the RefToon stuff in your homeschool curriculum, and you think any of your kids are going to follow in the footsteps and...
No, you know, like this is probably so bad. Like I was talking with someone the other day about not having, like our math curriculum does not have pictures in it. And I like that because it lets me focus on, well, me, I don't know how my kids focus on it. They've done fine with it. So I haven't done anything else. But as far as I don't like to have a lot of pictures. Like I don't mind pictures if they're in picture books or like in the things that Paul does, but we haven't really. Like this coming year, we haven't hit it yet, but Donovan will be going through in his school, the Reformation. And there may be things that I would like bring up and be like, oh, remember this, but like, we don't have pictures hanging in our house. We don't really have pictures anywhere, but Paul's computer and the internet.
Yeah, we're not very decorative people.
So blank wall, like very blank. There's a hat hanging somewhere, like,
yeah.
But not really pictures, which is kind of, I mean, maybe we compliment each other.
We don't have time to decorate.
Yeah. Sounds like you don't have time. Do any of the kids enjoy drawing or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bailey does. And Harper, I think.
Two of the girls, yeah. We have three girls, one boy. Two of the girls enjoy drawing. Donovan absolutely hates drawing.
But he's, that'd be one, right?
I think he's critical about himself because it, like nothing that they do is going to, at least right now, it's not going to look like dad's picture, so I did it wrong or whatever. And that's not like, that is not art. You don't do it wrong, you do it until you get it how you want it to look. I don't know.
Yep.
So I think he's just too hard on himself, but
aww. Sure, it's the
obviously.
Age
it could be.
Yeah.
So you recently had a disaster and you lost a lot of your files or most of them. What happened and did you recover from that?
It's still a little raw, huh?
Yeah, it was, was it before or after we went to this thing? I think it was after we went to the Sing conference, came back and turned on my computer and it was like the hard drive was acting really funny. It was telling me there was no space. I couldn't save any of my files or anything. So I was working on some drawings, like it wouldn't let me save them. And so I was like, something's wrong here. So I was looking at it and some of the numbers were like jumping around from like, I had this much space to this much space. And then just jumping around, like I had no space left. I didn't know what to do with anything. So I started to like transfer everything to my external hard drives just to make room. And I accidentally deleted a Dropbox folder that was apparently connected to my documents folder and my desktop folder. And when I deleted that, it took everything that was on there that was not saved onto an external hard drive. And it was gone, like thousands, thousands of files, all of my RefToons artwork and original files for RefToons from like 2020 through 2022.
And this would have included things like your catechism book, the Westminster, right?
Yeah.
It would have been things you needed for publishers.
Yeah.
Or just
A lot of my client work that I was currently working on was gone. and all those original files, just because I deleted a Dropbox folder that I didn't think I needed. And so,
oh my.
So I took my computer into this place up in Madison, Wisconsin, and they were able to find some things, but we couldn't really tell if those files were the files I needed. And a lot of them were turned, like the files were turned into like JPEGs. So like that wasn't helpful for me because I needed all the layers. So I got the computer back, ended up not having to pay anything because I told them just forget it. Someone had told me about this program called Disk Drill, which I had tried earlier, but my computer wasn't letting me.
It wouldn't even turn on.
It wouldn't even let me down. No, it wouldn't let me download anything or install any new programs. But when they gave it back to me, then it was acting normal and I could install that program. Ended up finding like most of my files, the files that I needed for like the large scale artwork for making prints and things like that. So thankfully, most of that stuff was found. Some of the stuff, like I was working on a comic strip series called Herman Newt, Exploring Theology. All those layered files were gone. So I don't have those anymore. So I have to start from scratch on that one, which probably won't happen for a while.
We're still in recovery mode.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm still finding files that I have this big old folder of files that I have to sort through still.
Wow. Yeah, that had to be sickening and heart-wrenching. I just can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I felt my heart sink the moment I realized what happened. I was like, oh.
Well, I saw your post. It was something like, I may have lost my files. Please pray. Something like that.
There might have been a couple of those.
All right. So this is what a panic attack feels like.
Definitely. Well, I didn't know till recently that you have a blog. And it's pretty amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I just recently started that. And the blog I use to kind of break down my comics and tell people kind of what I was thinking while I was drawing each one, why I drew something a certain way, and maybe sometimes how I could have probably done it better.
Yeah, so, I saw one on, you did one on called Two Voices.
Oh, yep.
That was great.
Thank you. So I've been going back into a lot of my old comics. And just kind of explaining the process and some context behind the quote and whatnot, and just doing all that before I forget, before it becomes so long between the time I created them and now.
What was I thinking?
Why did I draw it this way? So while I can still remember why I drew them that way, I'm trying to document them all.
Yeah, it's great. For anybody that hasn't checked it out, they should check it out. Because you have additional scripture references and other things on there. So definitely check it out if you haven't. Walk us through a little bit about how a comic comes into being from beginning to end. Like you're just reading something and then you get the picture in your head?
Sometimes. Sometimes I'm reading something and it'll be something that I want to put out there, but I don't have a picture for it yet. And so that takes a lot more work, a lot more brainstorming. So I usually start out with just a really rough sketch or little thumbnail sketches that really nobody but me can understand what they what they are. And so I'll do these thumbnail sketches. I'll come to a composition or an idea that I like, and then I'll blow it up into a bigger rough sketch. And then from there, once I get it to just kind of the layout that I want, I will go over it in a cleaner pencil sketch, and then put the inks over top of that, and then add in all the color.
So how long does it take you usually, the whole process?
Oh, that really depends on the on the comic.
Well, and what you have going on.
Well, yeah, and what I have going on. There's one comic I'm working on right now on my iPad, and I get maybe like five lines in a day, just because I just kind of pick it up as I have time. So my freelance work comes first, and then RefTunes is just kind of a side thing. So depending on the comic, it can take anywhere from like 2 to 10 hours or 12 or
wow.
more.
That's a lot.
Depending on the level of detail.
Yeah.
So like the Psalm one. Yeah. The Psalm one comic. I think that was about 12 hours.
Mm.
Just because there's so much in there and so much different color and lighting techniques and things like that in the color.
And you've done Westminster Catechism, which you mentioned. You've also done Baptist Catechism.
I illustrated an old pastor of ours. He wrote these two books, Paul's Big Letter and Paul's Helpful Letter.
I bought them for my grandson. They came today.
Awesome.
He's 12. He's not here right now. He left, and he loves to draw. He's always making comics. And I said, oh, I'm interviewing the guy who does this. And the books are great. We were going through them and we didn't have a chance to really read them yet, but they're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a good job on those. Just kind of breaking down each chapter of each of those books, Romans and 1 Corinthians.
We went through those as a family when we were doing the editing and stuff on there.
Yeah.
They were good.
Yeah, they were good. And so yeah, I just did the cover design for those and the
And pictures, there's pictures in throughout the book, little pictures.
Yep. Each chapter at the heading has a illustration.
So I got them off your website. What else do you guys have available on your website?
Well, I have the Pilgrim's Progress, The Poetic Journey. That's one that Stephanie and I worked on together. We adapted Pilgrim's Progress into a rhyming poem, and I illustrated it as a children's picture book. So that's available at reftunes.com. That one's published through H&E Publishing. They are based out of Canada, and you can also get it on their site as well. But I also have a RefTunes Collection 1, and I probably shouldn't have named it 1, RefTunes Collection 1, because it's taken so long to get more comics made to make a second one. Oops, that was my first self-publishing adventure there. So
is that a collection of some of your cartoons?
That's a collection of the first like 2 to 2.5 years of RefTunes, 2017 through 2019.
Okay.
And so it has most of the comics that I have posted on social media during those years.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a great idea. 2 years worth of work in one book. That's awesome.
And I think I got it. We got an email about t-shirts or something.
Yes, doing t-shirts now. We had t-shirts for a while through a print-on-demand company, but we didn't like working with them or how the shirts were coming out. So now we're working with the Reformed Sage, which is another page on Facebook, Instagram. They're a small business, small family business, and we've gotten to know them through doing conferences, having booths at conferences and stuff. And so they're printing our t-shirts for us. And so it's kind of a weird process that we have going on. We're gathering the orders, and then we're only making 2 orders per month to them for the t-shirts. So we're kind of like gathering all the orders that come in the first part of the month, and then we're making one bulk order with them for t-shirts. And then once we get those back, we'll ship them out to all the people that ordered. And so if you order a t-shirt from our site, it's going to take a while to get it.
Yes. Well, and there were some hangups on the most recent one
that
we did with the shirts not coming in before they even got printed. Some of the shirts were damaged, and then some of the prints didn't work right. And
right.
Because this is the new process for them too. So it's kind of just working out the kinks and hoping it goes okay. Hoping it works out. So learning process.
Yeah.
So you guys quote so many giants of the faith, and this might be hard to answer because of that, but in keeping with our series, who are some of the Christians, dead or alive, that every Christian should know about, in your opinion?
Charles Spurgeon.
Martin Lloyd-Jones. Jones.
That's easy.
RC good ones.
RC Sproul.
Martin Lloyd-Jones was Tom Askell's first answer too.
Was it?
He said Spurgeon too, but
yeah, it's hard to pick. But
those two are great to read and to like listening to Martin Lloyd Jones and some of his old sermons.
We have his Romans series, which is pretty lengthy. I've only made it through book one, and it's taken me a really long time. But every time I open it up, it's just like, oh, so good. And then I have to go back because it, well, I set it down for probably too long. So I'm reviewing what I didn't remember, which is usually a lot. But
I have an audio series of sermons from Martin Lloyd Jones that I haven't even listened to yet. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a time to listen to them.
Great
teaching.
We will be sure to put everything on the show notes, your website, and some of your social media links. I see Instagram and Facebook all the time. I don't know if you regularly post on anything else.
Yeah, I'm regularly on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, mostly. And then I am occasionally posting on like those alternative platforms as well.
Okay. So what's in the future for RefTunes? Anything? Anything new going on? Or
yeah.
How new?
Well, I recently signed a contract with P&R Publishing. They're actually taking over. So there's two contracts with them. They're taking over the Westminster Illustrated Catechism. They're re-releasing it in modern English through their company. And then I'm also working with them and an author to illustrate a graphic novel version of John Calvin's Institutes in 4 volumes.
Oh, wow.
That sounds awesome.
You really have to pare that down to get it in 4 volumes.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm just finishing with the first chapter, getting it all inked up and everything. And there's 18 chapters in the first volume. And I don't know how many are in the other ones. So we're the author I'm working with, Martin Williams, he's a professor in Australia at a Reformed college. I think it's Reformed Theological College is what it's called. And he is doing a great job of just kind of paring it down into a comic book script for me to work from. And that's been really fun because I've always wanted to make a graphic novel. And I get to do one with John Calvin.
Yeah.
And then the Baptist Catechism right here. We sold out on our website and didn't know if we wanted to do second run on our own because it was self-published. And that was a lot of work and we would have had to do a lot of pre-orders in order to get the money to be able to get another printed version. So Founders Ministries is actually taking that over and
Wonderful.
They are going to be printing a second edition of that.
It'll
look different. We're going to try and brand it to be similar to their Truth and Grace books, if you know what those are.
Mm-hmm.
And so
a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, I look forward to that Calvin series. I definitely have to pick up that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that'll be a while in the making, but hopefully it'll be worth it.
I think it probably will be. I can't wait to see it.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I bet.
Like I said, we'll make sure we have all the links to your social media and your website, and that's where you can pick up the merchandise in the show notes. And Paul and Stephanie, we just thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's going to like hearing the voices and seeing the faces behind all those great cartoons. And some of them make me laugh and some of them make me think pretty deeply.
And some of them make you mad.
I haven't seen any that made me mad. No. Even the whack-a-mole one, it wouldn't have made me mad.
Yeah.
No. No, I love it. And we just love the work you guys do. And we just want to thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's why we thought you were definitely Christians that every Christian should know.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day, everyone.